Oh, you the voice?
Nah, not me.
So if you're not the voice, who is?
The people, man. The people's the voice.
So what does that make you?
That makes me the middleman. I'm the middleman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, and today I am joined by Eric Boosart.
How you doing? Thanks for having me on, man.
Did I say that right?
Perfect.
All right, perfect. His last name is Boosart, which means that he was built for this, which I actually think is crazy because, like, you are an artist, okay? You're an illustrator. I saw on your social media you label yourself as an illustrator as well as a muralist, correct? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So, you know, with the Boosart just being your last name, the art being a part of it, I was like, wow, this is, like, pretty nuts that that's actually a real thing. So kudos to you, and it seems like you have picked the right path, my friend.
Yeah, I've been hearing that since, like, middle school art class. Like, oh, you have art in your name.
Okay, yeah.
No, always been really.
Is that where it all started, in middle school?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, yeah. As sketches, doing some small stuff?
Yeah, I used to draw, like, I used to fill my projects up on the sides, all my assignments with, I just have doodles going nonstop.
That's dope, bro. Look, let me just tell everyone that it's honestly, I'm a big fan of your work, man. And when you and I were talking about scheduling the podcast, I was really happy that you were like excited and wanted to come on the show because I was like, yo, this guy's like dope as hell. Like, you know, your work is all over in Scranton, all over in the area. I've seen you gone to different states, you know, all your murals. It's all posted on your Instagram. You want to shout out your Instagram for the people right now?
Sure. It's at Eric Boosart at Instagram, Facebook, website. It's all the same. Just Eric Boosart.
You can check all of his work out. It's immaculate. It's absolutely amazing. I love it, man. And we're definitely going to overlay it into the podcast, you know. But where do we start? Because there's so much, bro. There's so much. And I would say you're a professional, my friend, okay? Because I did notice that within your work, your hashtags often say 10,000 hours.
Oh, right? Yeah.
10,000 hours is what people need in order to be considered a professional in their profession. You know, so you've been doing this for quite some time.
Yeah, I put that tag on my post where it's like the gym work, I call it, mm-hmm. where it's like purely just to like work to get better, to try to push my skills farther. So that's the 10,000 hours. It's like earning my skills, essentially.
You definitely have the skill base, man. You do all types of work, you know, with painting, with ballpoint pens, with color pencils, with oil art, you know, like what is your preferred version of art?
I just love drawing. Drawing's my favorite. So okay. Like we were talking about the middle school stuff. I started with like black and blue ballpoint pens, and it's still my favorite. Like if I'm gonna sit down and do a really like detailed illustration, I'm usually gonna go for the ballpoint pens.
Is most of it freehand? Like you're just coming up with it in the top of the head and you're just doing this all with the ballpoint pens? And the ballpoint pens that you tend to use, I've seen them, they got a pretty unique tip on there. What type of pens do you use?
You're thinking of probably the fountain pen, like the fancy one?
Yeah, where it looks like it's got like a metal triangle going towards the end there.
Oh yeah, that's not a ballpoint. It's like a fancy German fountain pen.
Okay.
That thing's awesome. But the ballpoint I use is like a regular Bic from Staples.
Okay.
It's like the same exact pen everybody else uses.
Dope. No shit, man. My favorite pen is the G2, fun fact.
Oh, it's the gel pen.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. The G2. You ever use that?
Yeah, I used to love those.
That's my favorite pen, man. So let's talk about your murals, okay? How many murals have you completed, and which one was your first one?
It's probably in the high 80s, low 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been at this for a while.
Wow.
I never actually sat down and counted, though.
Okay.
I did once when it was like 35,
mm-hmm.
and I was in like 17, so.
Wow, 2017?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been doing this even before that.
Yeah. I think I started in 2016, 2015.
And that was probably one of your first murals?
The first mural was, I think, that light bulb on the Heritage Trail.
No, that's, oh yeah, that is you, yeah.
That might have been the first one.
Okay. Yeah, that one's really, really cool, man. I know which one you're talking about. On the Lackawanna Heritage Trail, there's a light bulb that says the Electric City. That might have been the first one. Did you have any help with that, or was it just you?
My buddy Ryan helped like get us into it.
Okay.
He was like a house painter, but also like a fine art oil painter.
Mm-hmm.
So we like he kind of like did a bunch of research, figured out what kind of paints to get. We got all those ladders out there, and he kind of like guided us on that.
Now, how was it trying to acquire the space? How did that work out? You know, like just trying to tell the city, like how did you go to the city and approach them and say, hey, like I want to draw this piece of art on the Heritage Trail? How open were they to allowing you to do that?
Oh, the Heritage Trail people are great. They're like really open to projects like that.
Okay, yeah. Is that what you do with everyone? You just go up to them and you start talking to them? Or do you like find a wall and you're like, yo, this is like, I just want to know your thought process. I want to know how you got to just creating murals, because that's like a city staple. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that doesn't seem as easy as you're making it sound right now.
No, finding the wall and getting the approval is like almost the hardest part sometimes. Like painting it is easy. I'll say like the setup is really a drag.
Gotcha.
Like painting is just painting. I can do that all day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not good at like emails and phone calls and stuff.
Gotcha. But,
yeah, it depends. If it's like a grant project, then I have to go like find out a wall. Like, oh, that's like for the MLK mural. It was like, I love that wall. I found the owner, talked to them, approved, got the grant myself, and like just figure it all out. But if it's like a client commission, then it's like the wall's already there for me.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier. Exactly. And the MLK mural, you did that one. That one's over there on Mulberry Street. That's one hell of a piece of art. Definitely has message to it as well. How was creating that piece of art? Just because I know that that's got such a significant meaning. You know, Martin Luther King, everyone out here should know Martin Luther King. And when it was all complete, how did you feel when it was all done?
Just really stoked. I had so many talented people working on that with me. My friend Manny, Emmanuel Wisdom on Instagram.
Mm.
Did that beautiful lettering piece for me, and then I had just so many like people helping me paint it, because it was a lot of work.
How often, like how big are these pieces, and how many people are usually working with you, and how do you go about choosing the teammates on this project?
I have like a pool of like a very talented artist that I kind of reach out to. I have this dude like Have a Art down in Wilkes. He's like really good. He's way better than me at painting, honestly.
Really?
So I'll bring him on if I need a little assistance. If I need like a design or a lettering piece, I'll hit up my homie Manny. If I need like help filling in like a painting, I'll hit up like Joy Zavada. So I just have I've been rocking this area for a while, and I have a lot of talented people I can kind of call on.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Kudos to you. I do know Joy Zavada. Shout out to Joy. You know, honestly, she's probably the reason why you and I connected, because I remember when I had a podcast with her, I was talking to her about the murals and everything, and that's when she threw your name into the mix, and then so on and so forth. Here we are a year later, you know, having this conversation. So that's really, really cool. Kudos to her. She's doing her thing. And that's really cool that you have a team that you could just call upon. And it sounds like everyone's kind of specially talented in their own respected aspect of the art, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man. Good for you, man. Are there any like mural artists that you look up to in particular?
Oh yeah, there's so many. If I had to recommend like two, like the first one's Faith 47. She's a South African mural artist.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible work. It looks like you ever seen like a Renaissance artist?
Okay, yeah.
Her murals look like a Renaissance artist sketchbook.
Renaissance artist. So like, when I'm thinking Renaissance artist, I'm thinking like Roman gods kind of deal.
It's like Michelangelo's sketchbook, okay. Kind of. It's like perfect drawings, but blown up like to like 80 feet high.
Hmm.
She's really cool. Can I look up a name?
Yeah, of course.
Sorry.
No, you're good. And you said her name was Faith 42?
Faith 47.
47. That's pretty cool. And where's she out of?
South Africa.
South Africa. That's pretty dope, man.
Yeah, she's insane.
Do you have any other, so you're looking up another artist right now, but when you're looking at other pieces, like have you gone and traveled around to different locations and found pieces of art that you know that there might be a special meaning, like a message behind it, you know?
Yeah. I'm like always like having my eyes out for like really cool artwork. Like anytime I go to like a new city, like especially like if I'm in like Brooklyn or something,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some places that have like insane mural scenes. Like, I was at like Reno for a mural festival last year, and it's like their mural scene's like incredible. Like I had no idea, like it was kind of blew me away.
That's awesome.
So,
man.
I just kind of stumble upon cool mural scenes from time to time and then really take them in.
And then when you find like a hidden message in between some of them, I bet that's pretty cool as well, right? That's awesome. What's the other artist that you found?
I gave up. I think it's Eric Burke though.
Okay, so, Eric Burke. Gotcha.
Pretty sure that's his name.
Have you ever been to Alice in Wonderland over there right in between New Jersey and, well, right by the Delaware Water Gap? You know, if you're leaving Pennsylvania and you're going to go into New Jersey, there's a bridge over there. Have you ever been there? It's called Alice in Wonderland.
Is that a location?
Yeah. So the reason they call it Alice in Wonderland is because it's a bridge, right? And it's a graffiti bridge. Okay, so if you go over there, okay, you can go over there. Just make sure there's no cops around because you're kind of trespassing, okay? There's a thing that's, it's like a manhole, okay? And they call it like, you know, Alice in Wonderland. It's, you just climb down a ladder, okay? You climb down a ladder and then you're in a bridge. And it's graffiti art everywhere. I'll show you it. I'll definitely show you it. I've gone there a few times.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's graffiti. It's all spray paint. Everyone's like in there, and it's just art upon art upon art. And it's along the Delaware River, so you're above the Delaware River, so you're like on a bridge above the Delaware River on a bridge that's decommissioned, not even being used anymore. And then on the other side is the highway, and you could like walk over the highway. I'll show you, man. It's really, really cool.
That sounds like ethereal. That sounds really cool.
It's quite an adventure. If you just Google it, it's Alice in Wonderland right over there in by the Delaware Water Gap. And you got to just have a little bit of courage because the ladder that you're climbing down is a little sketchy. You know, it's a little sketchy. But I'll have to show you that, you know. So I just thought about that as well. People in Pennsylvania, definitely in the Strasburg area, they should know where Alice in Wonderland is. It's pretty cool. I'll show you the photos. All right.
Yeah. Considering that I do like the murals for a living, I'm still like very afraid of heights.
Oh, really?
That ladder would fuck me up.
Man, have you ever done a mural being suspended in a harness?
I did a swing lift one. You ever see like when people wash like skyscraper windows?
Yeah.
And they drop with the little strings from the top?
Yeah.
I've done one of those once.
Oh, that's
those
sick.
Are terrifying.
Oh my gosh. How tall was the building at that point? Did you know?
22 stories.
22. Sheesh, man.
I don't think I went past like 19 though.
How did they convince you to put yourself in the sling to do that?
Money. It was a cool opportunity.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I want to see that piece of art. That's a lot of courage to do that. Even if people window washing, I wouldn't want to do that. That's pretty insane. As you know, I work on heights. I work on roofs all the time, you know, as a HVAC technician. That's what I do on my day job. And I'm climbing up these ladders and like, I'm just, every time I get up there, I look down and I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm like, you're one slip away. You're one left, right, maybe the wind knocking a ladder over away from it being over, man. Which I'm willing to take the fall. As a matter of fact, I got stuck on the top of a Salvation Army roof the other day.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I'll tap into that later, maybe for tea time. But that was a pretty funny story, bro. I thought we were gonna have to get the fire department involved, because like my hatch to get downstairs was closed. They couldn't open it back up. I was like, well, I'm stuck. What do I do? What do I do? Listen, my absolute favorite piece of mural art that you had is one of my favorites is the one you did at Marywood. Okay, you did it at Marywood with an artist named Emmanuel. Okay, and it's called Soul Lunar. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Soul Lunar, okay? And I just want to, like, elaborate on that piece of art, man. I actually took a screenshot of the description that Marywood put on. But you did this when? In 2022? Oh, excuse me, 2023.
Yeah, so this was a collaborative show that myself and Emmanuel Wisdom put on at Marywood. It was, like, a large gallery, the biggest one I've ever done. Mm-hmm. We had to fill, like, 9 walls up with artwork.
Wow.
So the entire like month leading up to that, I was cranking out paintings, getting stuff framed. But I love collaborative projects, and it was like really a treat to like work with Emmanuel.
That piece of art is immaculate. So it's called Soul Lunar here, and Soul Lunar. So if you look at the piece of art, it's got a lot of black and white and an exquisite amount of detail, man. And it looks like, honestly, I think of like electricity when I was looking at those pieces of art, just because like of the eyes. You know, of the eyes of some of the characters that you guys had in there. I'm thinking like Storm from X-Men, you know? I'm thinking Storm from X-Men.
Yeah, I was just going for that.
Yeah, was it? All right, perfect. I was going to see the smile. I'm like, yo, that must have been like an inspiration. But Soul Lunar, right? Soul Lunar is an introspective and collaborative art experience created by artists. And I'm sorry, would you happen to know how to pronounce that?
Oh, Unapologetic.
Okay, Unapologetic, Emmanuel, and Eric Boos Art. This mixed media series explores the soul lunar, sun, and moon, and how it relates to the human experience on Earth while drawing from mythological, philosophical, and spiritual teachings from cultures around the world. That piece of art is pretty amazing. So let me ask you, did Marywood come up to you and present to you just like, hey, we have this idea? How did this all grow into fruition? Because like Soul Lunar, was that like they were like, listen, we want something that's soul lunar? Or did you and Emmanuel come up with the thought process for that?
Oh, me and Manny hopped on a call for like 2 hours and talked about what it could be about.
Okay.
They approached us with the space and told us they wanted us to put on a joint show. And that was all they gave us. Like, so everything else we kind of like we thought about like what Manny might want to work on and what I might want to work on, and then like something that we could also take pieces we already had mm-hmm. and sort of apply them to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of like figuring out with Manny, like what would be a fun thing to base our next body of work around, essentially.
That's an immaculate piece of work. So you said you had nine walls to fill. So did you guys create nine characters?
Oh no. Like, we did like, so we had like a center wall mm-hmm. that was like shared, and we did this like big collaborative piece. That was like the centerpiece of the show, like the main thing. So, and the rest of it was like, we would do different series of art. So some of them were already completed, like series of drawings or series of paintings. And some of them were new for that show specifically.
Okay.
Like awesome. Manny did this like beautiful Japanese mythology series with like, just like working like impetuously on paper with these large black ink markers. Those were really nice.
That's like really, really cool, elements. Man.
But the collab in the middle was really cool. Like, so the inspiration for that one, Manny had gotten this like old Greek painting where you ever see like a Greek pottery where it's like all like black silhouetted figures and it tells like a short story, like a narrative, like it'll tell like the story of Achilles.
Okay.
On like a pot.
Possibly. I'm thinking of on a pot. I'm thinking like cavemen, but yeah, I understand the concept. But I understand
very
what you're
similar,
saying.
Very similar. Okay. A little bit more refined, but mm-hmm. the same exact thing.
Yeah.
So he got a painting like that, like a Greek painting from a thrift shop, and he filled these like black characters in with these like beautiful, like calligraphic strokes and like letterings and details, and I just like fell in love with it. So like when I made that the centerpiece, I wanted to create essentially that painting he bought from the thrift shop. I wanted to make one of those, but if it was like specifically designed for him to play on.
Gotcha.
So I like wanted to create like a almost like a playground for him to just like rock out and do his thing as hard as possible.
Yeah.
So that's what's really fun about like the collaborative things. It's like figuring out how to maximize the other person's potential and then also shine yourself.
Yeah.
And then coming together to make something really cool.
It is a really, really cool piece of art. It's a wonderful exhibit. Is it still up to this day?
Oh, no. I think we took it down like 2 months ago.
Okay. Okay. Copy. That's awesome, man. And did you go to Marywood by chance?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's why you were able to call you up and be like, hey, man, come on through. That's awesome. So did you go to school for art? Is that what you went to school for?
Yeah, I went for illustration.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Graduated with a degree and everything?
Yep.
Man, bro. Good on you, bro. Good on you. That's awesome, man. I didn't even know that was a degree. I do know that Marywood is a very liberal arts school. They have a lot of arts going on, and that's such a great piece of art. I love it. You know, you were talking about how the Storm character, you know, why Storm? Why did you want to capture that essence, that type of feel with, you know, when it comes to like psychology and just all that type of work?
Sweet. So the piece that I believe you're talking about is my interpretation of like Luna. It's
I'll
like the Greek moon goddess. I did sort of like a contemporary interpretation of it. I added like, you know, more like contemporary like features and hair and like added like surreal elements. And the way that Luna is depicted in like the old Greek statues, she has like a crown, sort of a crescent moon.
That's not Luna.
Oh, yeah, that is.
That is Luna?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right. This is Luna, by the way. We're going to add her in a photo. But go ahead, continue. Keep elaborating on her.
The old Greek statue has, like, the crescent moon going through her head. It almost looks like horns.
Yeah, yeah, I see that.
And then the old Greek statues, if you look at them, people, like, experience them as, like, black and white and gray.
Okay.
But they were actually, like, fully painted back in the day. Like, they found little residue on them. So, like, at some the eyes were actually painted on. So right now, like if you look at like a statue of like David, he's got no eyeballs, like he's got no pupils, but that's just because like they did it with paint to make it look more realistic.
Gotcha.
So I was kind of playing with that aesthetic of like, there's no eyeballs.
No, I love it, man.
Like, the paint's faded away.
It's really, really good. And like the black and white, that's the sun and the moon part of it. That's the soul lunar part of it. Gotcha, man. That's amazing, man. I love it. It's great work. Great work. Absolutely.
Thank you, man.
And when you're doing these pieces of art, so like, let me ask you, do you usually go on a computer and kind of sketch it out on a computer, then print it out and then put it onto a wall? Or do you freehand it on the wall and then fill in the blanks as you go?
Oh, no. I have to know like pretty much exactly what's going to happen before I go to the wall. Especially because like we saw, we talked about like wall permissions earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that owns the wall wants to know exactly what I'm going to paint. People don't like surprises.
Gotcha.
And then for the client, they want to approve it before it goes up. So I generally start on one, like with the ballpoint pen. I start on like a shitty piece of paper.
Okay.
With like a cheap pen. And I just like try to get a really like vague idea of what I want. And then it's a matter of tracking down like photo reference. getting like, sometimes I shoot models if I need like certain hand positions, certain facial features. Yeah, there's like finding like photographs and then working off the photographs, making sure that like I'm staying within like the bounds of reality.
Yeah, within the dimensions that they gave you on a wall. And then you present it to them and then you show them. Okay, that's awesome. Because I was thinking like, okay, so it's like, so you either do it on a piece of paper, you sketch it out, or do you even go on Photoshop and maybe sketch things up? Because it does look like you're pretty illustrative and handy on a computer as well.
Yeah, so I make a digital version of the wall, same exact proportion, same exact size,
okay,
to scale. And then, so I start with the pencil sketch on the paper. Then I scan that into my iPad or my computer. And then I'm sketching around, moving that sketch around on the wall. And then I'm adding in photographs, getting the references right.
That's awesome, man.
Adding drawings.
A lot of work goes into it.
I'll like do a photo collage. And then that, when I'm done with that computer results, I project that on the wall with like a big overhead office projector.
Gotcha. And then that, oh, okay, okay. And then you go from there. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. It's a lot of work that goes into that.
Yeah.
A lot of work that goes into that. Good for you, man. So are there any challenges that you face when you're creating pieces? Is it difficult to pick out what you want to do sometimes? What are some of the challenges that you face as you're creating some of these pieces of art?
A lot of times it's like trying to figure out how to make something like as cool as possible, especially within the restrictions. Like a lot of art in general is like figuring out how to like make something cool within restrictions. Like the client might want a certain thing, and then it's like, okay, how do I make this topic as cool as possible for all the people that are going to walk by it?
Gotcha. Okay. So those are some of the challenges that you face when you're doing it. And when you're grabbing inspiration and ideas, it's just, does it just naturally come to you?
Not really. I mean, you just have to like constantly seek out like experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just got to go like live kind of.
Yeah.
It's kind of like broad advice, but like you got to go do stuff a bunch and then eventually like you'll get inspired. Like go in nature a lot. I love nature. I like people. I like doing like fun, you know. I just like going on adventures and doing things, and that kind of charges me up.
I saw recently that you you did a body painting show. Was that one of your first body painting shows?
That was my second one.
That's a pretty unique experience, bro. How's that feel? How's it, you know, trying to, how does the client feel as you're painting them? Don't you have to kind of like break an ice with them? Kind of break an ice layer there?
Yeah, it was honestly, it was really cool. I did the first one at this at my homie Hava Arts event down in like Kingston.
Okay.
And I kept that one really simple. And then this last one that you mentioned, I had one under my belt, so I wanted to go like all out on it.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because it's like you're normally I work on like a lifeless thing, like a wall or a canvas.
Yeah.
So it's like the whole time it's like a challenge of like just keeping in mind that it's like a person and like you have to constantly check in. You kind of just like make small talk, keep it like light and friendly.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I mean, I've seen like a lot of like tattoo artist work. It's kind of a similar workflow. You just like keep them engaged.
Gotcha.
And like they don't even realize that the time is passing.
Would you ever consider doing a tattoo or being a tattoo artist?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
I can't do anything where you can't make mistakes. Like with the painting, if I blow out a line, I can just come back and fix it.
Okay.
In like 10 minutes.
Gotcha. No, tattoos, man, I will say, just because it's like, there's so many ideas that you have on, and your portfolio is so wide and vast, right? And I'm going to just skip a little bit of a section here and just, you know, bounce around with my notes here. I was thinking about tattoos, right? And I'm looking at your art and I'm looking at everything and I noticed you like to challenge yourself. Okay, you like to challenge yourself and you like to give yourself challenges that you post on social media on a consistent basis. You know what I mean? So one of the challenges that I want to talk about is Inktober in 2021. Okay. In 2021, Eric here did a challenge called Inktober. All right. So Inktober seems like it's a big thing. Could you describe what Inktober is?
Sure. Yeah. It was started by this dude named Jake Parker in like 2013. It's been going for a while now. Essentially it's you make one ink drawing, like fully completed ink drawing piece of artwork every day for the entire month of October. And it's like just like a brilliant way to challenge yourself and like push yourself to like create more work. And it really just like encourages you to work quickly and well.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I've been trying to do them forever. I think I started in 2016 or 2017 and I've failed every single one until, 22.
Okay.
So
nice.
It's hard. It's really hard. You have to do like time management. You have to like, you can't be over anxious and like over zealous with like your planning. Like you can't like, oh, I'm going to make a masterpiece every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't like, you also have to like do your job and like live your life.
Yeah.
So you can't do an 8-hour piece every single day.
Gotcha.
It's like literally impossible.
Well, yeah, I can only imagine how much the time management takes because you, what you just said, those pieces of art that you put in October, in Inktober in 2021, they're refined. They're not half-assed at all. You know, and I was actually looking at them, and I'm like, is he doing this on a computer? Like, that's how great the coloring and everything was. I'm like, yo, this is like so crisp, bro. And like with the tattoos, I'm like, I would have gotten probably five of those pieces of arts from day 6, 21, 20. Like, I will go to a tattoo artist with your permission, granted, you know, be like, yo, could you do this for me? Like, I kind of want this character, you know, it's such an iconic character, okay? And the character I'm talking about is a brick.
Oh, yeah.
It's a brick. Where did the inspiration for this brick character come from, my friend?
Man, I just, like, I love graffiti, but I'm like, I have literally zero graffiti skills. Like, I can't do letter reforms. And I would just get like insane imposter syndrome if I ever tried to do it. So like, I created him as a graffiti character. He's like my version of a tag of like a piece. So instead of like having my name in like big chunky letters, I have Brick doing something. So he's like sort of like an alter ego, sort of like a signature, almost like a visual.
Like a Cigna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's a sentient brick, like a brick from a wall. And he's got like arms and legs and like Mickey Mouse gloves.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he's very stressed out. He always, he like breaks often.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just very fun to draw. Like you mentioned like the Inktober, like the only way I was able to finish the only one I've ever done, the 22 one, was because I just did Brick and I just kept it really simple. Like I did nice drawings. Like I'm proud of them. But, like, I kept them all under, like, 2 hours, probably.
Really? Damn, 2 hours of work, man. That's amazing, man. I love it, man. I love it. Do you have any stickers available with you today?
I forgot.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to have to follow you up on those stickers, man, so we can show the crowd here. But, no, I'm definitely, on all jokes aside, all right, so these were some of my favorites. If you guys look at Eric's page on Instagram, you can go ahead and find his Inktober in 2021, his run here. It's fantastic. So I picked out five, okay? Not in any particular order. I just picked them from like days and, you know, six, seven, da da da, so on and so forth. So the first one was day six. It's titled Spirit, okay? And what it is it's Brick who's broken, okay? And his blue buddy Brick is there like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm like, yo, that's crazy. You know, that's comical, you know? So I love that. That's one of my favorites right there.
That was his soul.
Oh,
he was like watching his body. He's like, oh, I fucking died. Fuck. Like, he's like panicking.
Oh, that's a great one, man. Inspiration for that? Can you remember?
I don't remember. I don't know. That's too long ago.
No, they're all funny. They're very comical. You know, I can honestly see Brick being an illustrated book, like a character in a book. You know, it's a little bit of not a children's book, you know, maybe an adult swim book, but I could see Brick being like a comic. I could see him having his own comic. So I think he's a really great character.
I have 3-ish designs for the next sticker. They're all very raunchy. You can maybe help me pick after the show.
Okay. Yeah. I would love to. The next one that I like is day 21, Fuzzy. Okay. Fuzzy is Brick as Wolverine. That one is clever, man. That's a really good one. I'm guessing you're watching Wolverine. Big fan of X-Men here?
Yeah, I love X-Men.
Okay.
X-Men is one of the cooler superhero franchises.
Yeah, we got...
Wolverine's the man.
X-Men over Marvel?
It's like cinematic universes?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Okay, me neither.
Maybe like nostalgically.
Yeah.
But
well, Wolverine's coming back for Deadpool.
That's sick.
I know, right? About that. I can't wait to see that. That's going to be funny. Ryan Reynolds is hilarious. So I do like that one. Day 21, Fuzzy. Day 24, Extinct.
Oh, yeah. You're naming all like the ones where I was like, my brain was empty and I was like, I don't know. He's a dinosaur.
Yeah, no, but it's good. That's what I'm saying. It's comical, you know, and that's why I would get it tattooed because I'm like, yo, these are like really, really good. And I already thought like if I would get all five of these and I'm listing off right now. Like I said, with your permission, honestly, I'm sure you don't mind.
Dude, like blanket permission, anyone can get any of my work tattooed on them at any point.
All right, bet. Heard that.
I would be so stoked. Just send me a picture.
I'm down 100%, man, because these five that I'm naming, I'm like, you could put these into a story, kind of, you know, like just having them run along the arm here. And so then the next one is day 27, Spark.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
Mr. Spark. It's 420. You know, Mr. Spark. He actually made a reappearance for 420 this year, correct?
Yeah, I'm trying to do more of those, like, day posts. Like, Oh, it's so-and-so day. Here's a random drawing that has almost nothing to do with it.
With Brick. I love that. And then...
That's my favorite one from the series. Like, I was at, like, the very end, and I was just, like, so burned out on the entire thing. And I just drew, like, a very exhausted Brick. Just struggling to light a joint.
It's funny because it's like, it translates into you as well. You know, like you said, it's kind of like a Cigna, but at the same time, it's you. And I think it's cool that you chose a brick because with you working on walls a lot, you're always working on bricks. So a brick is an identification of yourself. And it's like, you know, you and I mentioned that you were a little bit of an introverted character, but maybe Brick is like the extroverted side of you. You know what I mean? Like the side that you don't let people see all the time, you know? So, well, how do you feel about that statement?
I kind of like that. He essentially is an alter ego. It's like the alternate personality.
Uh-huh.
So it's probably like my chance to like wild out as a different thing.
Yeah, nah, I fuck with it, bro. I fuck with it a lot. And then the last one, day 31, you called it Destroy. what a different name. Why'd you title it Destroy? I mean, Brick is holding a chainsaw, all right? So, and it's Finn, the end of the show.
Oh, something I forgot to mention about the Inktober stuff. So you don't have to do the prompts, but they drop a couple weeks before like October starts, they drop a word for every day. It's a word prompt.
Okay.
So the titles were sort of already picked for me, and then I had to respond to those with the image.
No shit.
That was just, that was like the theme of the word for the last day.
That's really cool, man. And anyone can do this. It's just a challenge. And is there like, did you get recognized by the person who created it or you just have fun doing it?
Oh, no, there's like thousands of people doing this.
Yeah.
I recommend it to anyone that wants to work on their drawing. You could also do, they call it the half marathon, which is you do something every other day.
Okay.
That's a lot more manageable.
Mm-hmm.
Or even some people just do like a weekly, do like one a week for October. I recommend any of those.
Gotcha, man. I love it, man. I love it. I wish I was as artistically talented as you are, because I'm not. My best drawings include stick figures, you know what I mean? And there was this one point, and I do have some things over here, which I'm just going to segue real quick, but I have this guy, okay, which I did not create it, okay? I did not create it. It's Godzilla, the king of the monsters. He will become a part of the set. I am a big Godzilla fan, but I found this guy at Salvation Army this week. Okay. And I got this and a sweatshirt for like $4. So I was hyped. So we got this right here, Godzilla, the king of the monsters. Would you ever do something like this?
Oh, hell yeah. Awesome, I love Godzilla. Man.
I might ask you to like redo a Godzilla for me one day. So we have that. And then I have these like pieces of whiteboards that I just got. So like the reason I got the whiteboards was because my crew has been urging me to find things to make the show a little bit entertaining, you know. I don't know if you want to get artistic with it, be my guest by all means. I mean, I've seen you do live painting, live shows. That's all you. I was like, maybe I'll challenge him, but I was like, nah, I can't challenge Eric, bro. So the reason we bought these were because it was just gonna be like a way to kind of just like break away from the show and have some fun with it. You know what I mean? And ask some pretty ridiculous questions. I know at one point in my previous podcast called the Shutdown Podcast, which is no longer running, we created animals that were of your own imagination and you try to mix them together. Okay. So like, I think I had like an octopus mixed with like a jaguar. Okay, because I think octopus are one of the smartest creatures out there. They're insane. They're great in the water. But then jaguars are like fast as shit. So could you imagine an octopus jaguar coming at you?
So you go the brain of an octopus and the head of an octopus on a jaguar?
Yeah, it was weird.
It's like Cthulhu vibes a little bit.
Yeah,
I like it.
It was a good time. So honestly, if we want to do something like that, we want to try to create a character here. I might be down to challenge you to that. I might be John Chong.
Yeah, dude, I'd love
that. All right, let's do this. We're going to go ahead and draw. Try to keep the conversation light as we're going, man. But what will the theme be? You want to do the imaginary animal? You want to stick with that?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Or shall we work with Brick?
I can do a Brick.
All right, let's do Brick. You know what?
What would you rather do? I could give you a little drawing tutorial. Oh, we can
Yeah, let's do a drawing tutorial on brick. Nah, let's do that, bro. I'm 110% down. That'd be great. That'd be great. But as we're doing this, we're going to try to keep the conversation going, you know, so multitasking. You've done a lot of live paintings over there at poetry events. You know, I've seen that you've done that. How's that when you're working and things are just moving around you? Is it hectic?
I like it. I mean, like 90% of my attention's on the drawing, so I don't really notice like the people and everything. But I really like the live drawing, just the vibe of it, and I'm trying to get more into it. So I've been doing like open mics, poetry nights. I just did a festival with my friend Zach Yawn. He's another great artist. At Zach Yawn on Instagram, like yawning. But yeah, I want to get back into the festival scene, like doing the more like live painting.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to get like my confidence back up in front of the people.
I like it.
So I'm having a lot of fun with this.
That's good, man. Good on you. Just being out there and mixing and mingling and being able to do those events. Because I had Aura Arts on the podcast, okay? And Aura Arts, we were at a showcase, and there was music going on, there was comedy going on, there was poetry going on, and she's there drawing. And I'm just like, wow, the way she's keeping her composure, you know, while everything's going on. And when I talked to her after the fact, she's like, Kev, you have no idea how bad I was breaking down. She was like, oh no, I messed up. You know, and she poured some white paint over the canvas. But I was like, the way you worked and the way that she kept it all professional was absolutely amazing. But yeah, just on that. So I guess we'll do a tutorial on brick here. What do you say?
Yeah. What do you want him to be doing?
Let's have him fixing. Let's have him looking like a maintenance character.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
I like that. Maybe some overalls?
Yeah, some overalls. Oh, you know what? Check that. Fishing.
I like fishing.
Let's do some fishing.
All right, so let's put him sitting somewhere. So you got to start with the rectangle first.
Okay.
And it's all about, you have to convey all the emotion of the rectangle in like in his like body form, right? So like if he's happy, he's open, and if he's like chilling, he's a little bit hunched.
Okay.
So you want a slightly bent rectangle. So it's like if we draw like his face, it would be like slightly down facing, and then it would like kind of bend here around his waist. So it's all about like, oops, I already messed up. I'm embarrassed.
Don't be, man. I'm over here. My brick and his brick are going to look too different, way different. But I'm going to give him my best.
Yeah. So you just want, to show that bend. That's where you get like the, like if you look at like the old Disney cartoons, they have a thing called the bean in like classic animation. Where it's like if you break the body down into like a circle for your ribs and then like a circle for your waist, and then how you move those together, you can like, it's crazy how much like emotion and how much you can convey just with that.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Just by like where your hips and your ribs are.
So instead of okay, so that's why you add the center bend when you're making brick and all your. I see what you're saying. 100%. Because right now mine is very. geometrical right here. It's a literal rectangle, but I'm looking at yours and you got a lot going on. I'm gonna have to like cheat over here.
No, dude, yeah, work off this. Like you want like a, it doesn't really matter where you put the bend, and then you want to put him at a 3/4 view, which is like not looking at you, not looking away.
This is awesome. I did not expect this to be happening right now.
It looks good, bro. You want to bevel it. Just like make it 3D. So just put a bunch of lines out at the same angle. There you go.
Gotcha. I learned how to make a 3D cube in middle school, sort of. I'm trying. Hey, you're laughing at me.
You got the extra thick brick going on.
Yeah, he's a thick brick.
Oh, he's facing that way.
Yeah, he's facing the other way.
I thought this was his front. No, that looks good. I'm sorry, man.
All right.
All right, so...
we're working on it. Show and tell.
All right, here we go. That looks almost photoreal, dude. That's good. So next, I like to just start with the eyes and then work out from there. So just like two kind of big circles in here. You can even overlap this line a little bit. I'm going to start with like one over there. One over here. I like to... A lot of different artists have like different ways of working through like a face. I like to work either eyes out or nose out. Most people start nose, I think I've heard, like from what I've discussed. But he doesn't have a nose.
Okay.
So we can't start there. We got to do kind of like some big anime eyeballs. He doesn't always have these. It changes. Like, you ever seen like One Punch Man?
Yeah, it's a great show.
He's like, you know how he like stylistically changes to fit the narrative of like the need of the scene?
Uh-huh.
It's Brick's kind of like that. Like he can have big anime eyeballs, he can have like little old school like Western animation eyeballs. It's whatever he needs to make the vibe work the best. So start with a circle inside the circle and then another circle off to the side of that. All right, so you're going to want to make those bigger because we're only concerned about the white inside of that circle.
The circles that I just did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're perfect. Yeah, make them like at least this big and then you got to do one more circle right next to it.
Okay.
So that like think about a circle that like overlaps it. Like it's like an electron moving around the little ring.
Okay. Wait. I'm working on it.
There you go. There you go.
My hand is not steady.
I'm a little groggy this morning. I've done better line work myself.
That's all right.
All right. So you're going to want to black out this middle circle we just did and then black out the top half of it around. So like black out up here, black out down there. And then you're going to want to do these little lines on the bottom. Everywhere else, you're going to want to hit these little lines.
My eyes look crooked as hell. My brick is cross-eyed.
Your brick has like a slight amphetamine problem.
A slight.
He's wired. I like the vibe you got going. So we're gonna keep that going with a little bit of veins, just really short straight veins pulling in from the outside, and then when you get towards the middle, you just lift your hand up like that, just a little bit of a flick.
Okay.
Get a little taper on that. How's he feel about fishing? He's stoked on it or he's bored?
He's cranked, bro. He's cranked.
Okay. So he's all in.
He's looking for a big fish right now.
All right. So make pretty much a straight line, like a centimeter under the eyes, all the way across.
Okay. Hold on. I'm still doing my cranked eyes right now.
Your eyes are good, bro.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. You know, This reminds me of something that I wanted to bring up. I know you mentioned in your Instagram, because I do social media and I check it out. I see that you did in 2022, you went to a prison and you were teaching the inmates about art.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went to this, I forget what it was called. It was like outside of Wilkes.
Okay.
It was like a level 4 prison or something. It was crazy. It was surreal going in there.
Yeah.
But they had like a mural program in there. And I went in there just to speak with the inmates about mural art and like just like meet some of them. And like the work they were putting out was incredible. They had an airbrush rig in there and they had these like beautiful, like almost, I wasn't allowed to take any pictures. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even bring them like paper.
Wow.
But like, yeah, it's crazy. The restrictions, like, cause you can apparently put drugs like in anything. So you can't, I couldn't even bring like a notebook in there.
Yeah.
Cause like a notebook could be just like sheets of acid. Like soaked in PCP or what? I don't know. They were trying to explain this to me at the security gate.
But, what do we have going on here? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, dude, my bad.
What am I supposed to
just
do?
Just a straight line right under the eyes.
Okay, gotcha.
It can be perfectly straight, a little bit up or down.
Continue though. So you, so you were in there, high security, could have brought acid.
I didn't.
You didn't bring acid.
I thought about it, but I chickened out at the last minute.
That's nuts.
I'm just kidding. So like they had this like, I wasn't allowed to take any pictures, but they had these beautiful, like they had like an MLK mural, they had a Malcolm X, they had like all these like sports figures, like different like Eagles championships and like Eagles players, like gorgeously painted. Like there's dudes in there that were like incredibly talented.
That's a dope experience. I've been into prison myself, but just fixing kitchen equipment. But I understand what you're saying. Like, bro, I'd bring my tool in and like I'd have a security guard right next to me, like, bro, don't leave that screwdriver out.
Oh,
they were,
yeah,
like, don't leave it out. You know, like, even if a screw, like, if I left a screw out, you know, can't do that. You got to put everything back or you got to take it out. You know, don't even leave a screw in there. It's a pretty dangerous place. But all right, let's continue. What is this part that we just did here in the center, though? So what are we trying to define here?
That's his upper lip. That's the top of his smile.
Oh, okay.
So he's cheese. Like, he's stoked on
PCP.
No, he's stoked on fishing.
Oh.
The PCP just helps him get there. He's already
it gives him the extra vision to look inside the water and get the fish. My guy looks cranked. It's hilarious. I can't wait to show other people.
All right. So the next thing is we're going to want to drop down at like probably like a 45 degree angle. Oops. That was a little shallow. Let me try that again. Yeah, just drop that down at like a 45 degree angle towards the bottom. Stop at like the middle, and then you're going to cut back up just a little bit more than horizontal.
That's a little sharp. Let me do that again.
It took me 2 tries, dude. Don't sweat it.
This is the most artistic I've been in years, bro. And I'm being serious when I say that.
You're a natural, man. That thing looks good.
And then go up.
Like yeah. That sort of?
Yeah. You did it on the wrong side, but we're just gonna rock
with it. We're gonna rock with it. We're gonna rock with it.
Nah,
I'm gonna fix it.
Dude, sorry.
I want it to be perfect. It's my first brick. Can I just say when I say brick, I think of like cocaine and like freaking like Alcatraz. Oh, yeah. And I don't do coke. I don't. But I'm just like, I've just been watching Wu-Tang and they refer to like brick and shit, you know, like money-wise. And
yeah, I listen to a lot of gangster rap myself.
So
I like that. I like that. I never thought of it like that, though.
All right. There we go. We got his smile, sort of.
Yeah, that's sweet. You're going to want to like turn back up and then drop like this line over here. That's his teeth.
Then, okay, hold on. Repeat that.
Just like come back up this way for a little bit and then just go straight down.
Oh, okay.
So like don't overthink, like if it's like a line that goes straight or a line that goes sideways, just do a line that goes straight or a line that goes sideways. There you go. Beautiful.
Let me just shake the computer here. Perfect, perfect.
All right, so the gum line is important. So we're just going to do W's, okay? Don't overthink it and don't stop. Just once you start, just keep making W's. Okay. And then I would recommend doing it on the top and bottom. And then everywhere between the gum, like the W's and his lips, just fill in black. I made my teeth too tiny.
Mine looks pretty odd here, but...
Oh, yeah, that's horrifying.
Dude, my brick looks freaking cranked. He's starving for fish, man. He's going to have a great time, though. So we're filling in this whole section here black?
Yeah.
All right, awesome. Dude, I'm really happy that this is happening right now.
Yeah, man. I don't usually get a chance.
Not a part of the script at all. This is perfect.
I usually don't get to show this to people, so this is nice.
All right.
All right. You're going to want to take like a line across and have like little gaps in it. And then like kind of randomly add some plus signs to it.
Okay.
And that's how you get like the sort of, it's like a cartoon shorthand for teeth.
Oh, okay.
A lot of like cartooning is just like seeing what people have already done really well and then trying to figure out how to like emulate it sort of. All right. I feel like we got to speed up for the rest of this.
Yeah, a little bit.
So we're just going to add some details, butt chin, cracks. We did the important parts. Everything else is easy. So for the cracks, you just add like lines across them and make little triangles in between them.
Yeah, because he's got a lot of cracks.
Yeah. Whenever he moves his body, he like breaks a little bit. So I think like he's in just like a constant agony because...
You ever watch SpongeBob?
Yeah.
You remember that guy who was like in the... Like his body was so fragile that whenever he touched something, all you hear was a glass break.
Yeah.
That's brick. My leg. My leg. My one friend does that pretty good.
Yeah, SpongeBob rocks.
SpongeBob is different when you're older.
I haven't gone back and watched too much of it. Some of the early seasons I'll go back and watch every once in a while.
I think I'm overdoing it with the cracks, but...
Oh, no. For the vibe, for that PCP vibe that you've been like establishing so beautifully so far.
Can I tell you something about myself?
Sure.
My development that I grew up in, it's called PCP. But the only it's called a PCP. That's what makes it different from the drug and the community is the letter A.
That's not a very big difference.
I know. It's a Pocono country place. That's what it is.
Huh. Did you like it there?
Yeah, not bad, bro. People consider it a ghetto, but I've said it time and time again on a podcast that it's not ghetto. It depends on who you hang out with. You know what I mean? If you're going to be out there hanging out with the gangbangers, you're going to get into some trouble. But I loved it. I grew up there. My mom still lives there, you know. I will say the gate part of it sucks. The gated community part of it, it's a little bit rough.
Huh.
It's fun, though. I see you have a drone license.
Oh, yeah.
You went out and acquired that?
Yeah, so if you want to just, like, fly a drone, like, in your backyard, just to, like, mess around and have fun with a drone, you can just do that. But if you get paid even, like, $1 for that drone flight, you can like get fined like, I think it's like 200 grand.
No way.
Yeah, so it's like you can't use a drone for like anything. It's a really like weird arbitrary rule. It's very annoying. But because like I technically use the drone to promote my business,
mm-hmm.
so I needed to go and get like the actual like pilot's license thing. Like I have a literal pilot's license. Like wow. I've never been to like,
that's
I don't
pretty
know.
Intense.
But like, yeah, it's cool, man. I mean, it was so annoying, and I almost failed the test. You have to get a 70 to pass, and I got a 71. So if I had got one more question wrong, I would have had to like start all over.
I actually just bought a drone, ladies and gentlemen, from the Salvation Army for $10, believe it or not. And it flies and it works. So I'm going to go ahead and try that out, try to do some pretty incredible things. I have managed to, coordinate myself into a commentary event that I've been doing recently. It's basketball. I'm commentating basketball. And for the longest time, Eric, I've always said that I've always wanted to commentate a sport. All right. But I never thought it'd be basketball. Right. Nonetheless, it happened. You know, we made it happen. And the sense of accomplishment was amazing. But it's like, you know, I never really got a chance to sit down and take it in. You know, like I talk about the podcast, where it'll bring me, you know. It brought me to a commentating table where I'm there, you know, talking about basketball. And the possibilities are endless, man. I'm so excited. I'm super stoked about that. That's a little bit part of my life. Shout out to Peckville Assembly of God Basketball League. Thank you for having me. Thank you for allowing me to commentate there. It's been such a great opportunity. Shout out to my co-commentator, Mo, and everyone who subs in for me when Mo is playing some ball. So thank you so much.
Dude, that's awesome, man. You have a good voice for that.
Thank you. It's just natural, bro. Like I'm very extroverted. Like I just talk to people. And I was talking to my mom the other day. This is the type of conversation you have when you're live painting someone, right? I was talking to my mom the other day, and she was like, "Oh, you called me. I was listening to your podcast." And I was like, "Oh, wow. I didn't even know my mom listened to my podcast," right? And she's like, "Bebe, like your voice is like really good." I'm like, "Ma, I don't do anything. Like everything that we're doing right now, this is natural. There's no buttons. We don't push anything extra. It just happens this way." And I love it. I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah, you got like that nice, like bassy kind of classic radio voice.
Thank you. I don't think I'll ever join a radio show unless it's mine.
Yeah.
All right. My brick is messed up. Your brick is almost done there. He's got legs and everything. It's really fine in the detail. We'll show the people at the end here. I'm going to let you keep working there.
I'm almost done.
No doubt, man. No doubt.
Sorry if I'm taking too long.
No. I appreciate the tutorial here. You're definitely going into more depth than I am. But I'm going to stop mine right there.
That's a beautiful stopping point.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I might have to finish it up. I might have to hang that up, man. I might have to buy a new one, buy a new whiteboard for my future guest, man. There were so many questions that I had to ask you and we didn't even get into it, but that's okay. That's 110%. Fine. If you guys are looking for any art, or even stickers from Eric over here, please check out his website at www.ericboosart.com. He's got some stickers there, as well as this nice spray can that you did with brick on it as well. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah. I like to repurpose my cans because it's I go through hundreds of them a year and I have to throw them out.
Mm-hmm.
So a really nice way to like recycle them is like I'll take the cans from my murals and I'll paint images and artwork and characters on the cans, sometimes even directly inspired by the mural.
Yeah.
It's a really fun service to work on.
I see Brick is on there. Brick is on one of them. So it's really, really cool to do, man. I love your art, man. What could you say to other people starting out, you know, like, how would you encourage them as when they're going through this type of work? You know, you mentioned that every now and then you were stopped by a temporary defeat. You know what I mean? But you hustled through it, you went back, and you fixed the line.
Yeah, like a ton of like the mural art workflow is like, it's just pretty much all art, really. It's just a constant problem-solving thing, right? So it's like, you're painting for a little while, you're essentially making educated guesses. You're like, okay, that should look good, that'll look good, I'll go purple here, purple to blue. And then it's like, you step back, that looks like shit, fuck, and I have to go back. And then it's like, that looks terrible, why does it look bad? I wonked that, I got it. So it's like, you essentially everything is a guess, and the better you get, the better your guesses are. So the longer you do it, the more you guess. Like some people that have been doing it for 20 years, their guesses are good probably 98% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at like a cool 73, I think, maybe a little higher. So like it's like the more comfortable you get, like you just like you get a little more accurate, and then it's just a matter of like troubleshooting and problem solving. Like, oh, fuck, there wasn't supposed to be a door there. Mm. That vent wasn't in the photograph that the client sent me. Like, the vent's like right in the middle of the guy's face. Now I have to like move everything around. So a ton of it, it's just like, to be successful, I think it's just like almost enjoying the problem solving aspect of it. Like, that's really like part of the fun of it, is like just constantly like almost making yourself as fluid as possible and like moving around obstacles like a stream around rocks.
Gotcha.
It's okay. Like very thrilling to do.
That's a good way. That's a good analogy, a way to put it there, like a stream moving around rocks. You know, rocks being the obstacles and you being the stream, finding your way through, making it to the end goal. Don't forget the Cigna, which is your crown, correct?
Yeah. The crown is I like, that's like my logo. It doesn't mean like, it's not like a, I'm like the man, I'm like the king. It's like, it represents like, sort of like rulership over like myself, like okay. Sort of like a, over like autonomy over like my own like life and decisions, and like making sure that like I'm always keeping like my best interest in mind when I'm making decisions, and like just, it's like to be in like in control of your own like being, kind of.
Gotcha.
That's what the crown means. So it's like the ruler of myself, kind of.
Really cool, man. Really cool. I like that. I like that meaning behind it. He's finishing up here. We're about to finish up the podcast here. Definitely want to show you his compared to mine. I'll go first, obviously, because I didn't put as much detail into mine. So, ladies and gentlemen, the moment that you have been waiting for, this is Kevin's brick strictly on PCP. Crack the hell out. Check him out. There he is. He'd even fish. He's just happy to be here. He's just happy to be here. No arms, no legs, nothing like that.
He doesn't need arms and legs.
He looks great. I love it. Thank you. And Eric.
Here's mine. We got a fishing brick. He's out having a nice day. Still PCP, just not as much. A much lighter dose. A therapeutic dose of PCP.
A therapeutic dose, if you would. All right, Eric. It's been a pleasure having you here, man. We're going to transition it over to tea time here in a few minutes. Is there any final words that you would like to give the people before you get off the air here? I'd like to give the guests the floor. The floor is yours, my friend.
No, man. I think that was pretty, like, I think we got to pretty much everything. I just wanted to thank you for having me on.
Of course, man. Thank you for coming out. I appreciate it, man. So, everyone, thank you for tuning into the Middleman Podcast. We're going to transition over to Tea Time, not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, signing out. All right. I know what you're thinking. Kev, seriously? Another ad? Are you serious, bro? But listen, if you're enjoying this conversation, you really want to listen to this ad, okay? Listen, I got good news for you. We have exclusive bonus content strictly on YouTube after this podcast with the same guests, right? Check this out. And this segment is called Tea Time, right? Now, Tea Time is not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. So that's right. Do yourself a favor. Go out there, buy yourself an Arizona Iced Tea, and join us strictly on YouTube for extra bonus content on Tea Time. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you there. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.